Welcome to the Chosen People radio program, a production of Chosen People Ministries. On this program, you'll hear inspiring stories, learn about messianic apologetics, and discover God's plan for Israel and you. Now let's welcome our hosts, Mitch Glazer, president of Chosen People Ministries, and Robert Walter, our New York regional director.
Shalom, friends. This is Mitch Glazer, president of Chosen People Ministries, and I'm so glad that you're joining us today in order to look at the whole enterprise of bringing Jesus to the Jewish people and also looking at scripture through a Jewish lens. Jesus said salvation is of the Jews. And so the Jewish people, the Jewish Bible, the Old Testament are the source where we go to the well and we find out more about what God teaches us through the New Covenant, through the New Testament. And so seeing the new in light of the old is just as important as seeing the old in light of the new. And so this is enriching for all of us. And with me to be enriched and further enrich you is Bobby Walter, who leads our work in New York City. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Mitch. Shalom to you and shalom to all of our listeners. As always, we are super grateful that you're tuning in and joining us. And Mitch, I've really loved this series that we've been doing through Romans 9, 10, and 11, as we've started from 11 and worked our way back, and now we're in the throes of talking about Jewish evangelism and what that looks like, what that means, and some of the challenges that we face as a body, as believers, when sharing the gospel with Jewish people.
Absolutely. We're going right to left, you know, which is very Jewish style. Hebrew is written right to left. And so we're now looking at Romans chapter 10, which in my way of looking at it is sort of like the corned beef and the corned beef sandwich. So it's between two pieces of Levy's Jewish rye bread, you know. And this is really important because in Romans chapter 11, Paul's looking to the future. Romans chapter 9, in many ways, Paul's looking to the past, talking about the covenants and promises of God that were given to the Jewish people. He talks about his own burden. But in chapter 10, he's speaking more directly about this great enterprise of sharing the gospel with Jewish people. And in verse 16, Paul writes, "However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our report?'" Now, that's a very important quote from the Old Testament because that is drawn from Isaiah chapter 53. And the question is, who has believed our report? Some Jewish people have believed the report that Isaiah spells out in his prophetic word, which is a very detailed prophetic description of the Messiah to come, who would be a perfect sacrifice, die for our sins, and even rise from the dead. Isaiah 53 has it all. You know, it's just such an incredibly clear prophecy with great detail. And so Isaiah says, some have believed, but some have not believed. And so I'm one of those who have believed by God's grace that Jesus is the Messiah and is the fulfillment of Isaiah 53. And I actually looked at that passage in the Old Testament before I became a believer. Hmm. And I remember asking some rabbinical students who were actually disciples of Shlomo Carlbach, the great singing Hasidic rabbi who still has a synagogue on the Upper West Side, though he's been dead for probably 40 years. And so I went to his disciples and I didn't know who to ask, really. And so I met them and asked them about Isaiah 53. And of course, they just had no answer. They said, well, it's the nation of Israel. And by the way, you shouldn't be thinking about whether or not Jesus is the Messiah. This is wrong for a Jewish person to do. And so that was interesting for me. And actually, their lack of answers spurred me on to seek more diligently as to whether or not Jesus was the Messiah. And then verse 17 of Romans chapter 10, Paul said, so faith, which is the gateway to salvation, faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. Of course, it's quite interesting. In those days, of course, it was hard to get a copy of the New Testament because it wasn't written yet. but you did have Paul's letters, and you did have probably some of the Gospels floating around at that point. At least we think the oldest one was Mark, and maybe that was floating around. But most of the believers' understanding of the New Testament was coming orally, and at that period. And so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And actually, when I read the Sermon on the Mount, the words leapt off the page. I mean, I just couldn't believe that a man was saying that, and that man really had to be God, because it was just so beautiful, so perfect. And so I'm one of those Jewish people that have come to faith, and I did believe the report. And so we're going to keep talking about how to reach your Jewish friends for the Lord Jesus. And Bobby, you do it all the time, and I not only do it, but I am a trophy of grace, you know, that God has touched my life. And as a Jewish person, I've come to know Jesus. So we're talking about challenges to this whole task of reaching Jewish people with the gospel. So the next challenge is this, and these are very simple, but they're important. Most Jewish people do not personally know Christians. Now, you might be listening in an area where there are just a lot of evangelical born-again Christians of every stripe, and you might say, wow, how could it be that Jewish people do not know Christians? Well, I'll tell you, it has to do with the definition of community. So one could say that in your town or in your state, that that Jewish people live in an area where there are a lot of churches, a lot of Christians, and so they're living in a connected Jewish community to a Christian community in some one way or another. But there's no bridge, brother and sister, between a Jewish community and a Christian community oftentimes. I mean, you might have Jewish people that you're friends with that are connected to you, but there's very little connection between a Jewish community and a Christian community, because a Christian community is just simply not Jewish. And as I've said, it's not that Jewish people think ill of every Christian or of Christian communities. It's just not them. It's just other. And why would we have a relationship with Christians? And it's not mainstream. Jewish people, for the most part, attempt to stick together. And Christians actually need to stick together. That's one of the problems with our churches today, is that we love fellowship too much. You know, we're so eager for heaven, we try and create it on earth, you know, in regarding our fellowship with other believers. And I love it too. I'm guilty as charged, you know. But we need to constantly be building bridges to those who are not believers, to those who are different than us. And some of the people we should be building bridges to are the Jewish people, because most Jewish people do not know Christians. Paul said in Romans 11:11, they didn't stumble so as to fall, may it never be, but by their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them jealous. In order to make a Jewish people jealous, you have to be close enough to them for them to see the Jewish Messiah make a difference in your life. And so I'm going to encourage you to befriend a Jewish person, not simply for the sake of giving them the gospel. That would be sort of duplicitous and maybe even dishonest. But Jews make good friends, right, Bobby? Aren't I a good friend? You know?
Yeah.
And yeah.
Honestly, I think, you know, all my best friends are Jewish, including the best friend I have, Jesus.
Yes. My best friend's Jewish too. If Jewish people need to see the gospel demonstrated and authenticated in the lives of believers, and if Romans 11:11 calls upon Gentiles to make Jewish people jealous when the Jewish Messiah lives in their hearts, then Gentile Christians need to figure out a way to get close enough for a Jewish person to see it. And so take a Jewish person to lunch this week. Begin by praying for that Jewish person. Try and show an interest in their lives. Ask them about their families, about their children. And a Jewish person will never reject prayer. And just let them know that you want to pray for them. And don't be afraid. Jump in there with 2 feet and ask God to give you Jewish friends and Jewish associations, so that at least they have a fighting chance to see what God's doing in your life. You don't have to know every Hebrew word in the Bible. I don't know every Hebrew word in the Bible. You just need to actually be your Jesus-loving self. And Jewish people will see that. And that's the way you're going to make Jewish people jealous. So most Jewish people do not personally know Christians. And if the gospel is communicated from one heart to another, then Jewish people need to get close to you. And so you need to maybe reach out to Jewish people and pray about who God will lead you to, but reach out to Jewish people and become a friend. Secondly, today, I'd like to tell you this. Most Jewish people believe that Christianity has been harmful to the Jewish people. That might get in the way of a friendship. Bobby shared some pretty good details about this, that all throughout church history, Jewish people, at least from the fourth century on, have been accused of deicide, that the Jews killed God. And now, you may not believe that, of course, because you read the Bible and you know that Jesus died for our sins willingly. It's not that the Jewish people killed Jesus or the Romans killed Jesus. We know that Jesus willingly gave his own life and that if anything killed Jesus, it was our sins. And so, but not everybody is a Christian like you're a Christian. And there are nominal people who identify with Christianity, but they haven't been very kind to the Jewish people because they just don't really know the Lord. And so there are quote-unquote Christians out there, nominal Christians. And the Jewish people mostly knew nominal Christians or nominal Christianity in Europe before grandparents like mine came over to this country. And so the attitudes of Christians towards Christianity were forged in Eastern Europe and other places around the globe where Jewish people were mistreated by alleged Christians. That makes it difficult for Jewish people to believe in Jesus. But your friendship can change that. The love of one Christian can change a Jewish person's attitude about Christianity. But we actually don't even want to change their attitude about Christianity. We want to change their attitude about Jesus himself. And sometimes it's important to help your Jewish friend understand that you're not trying to get them to embrace a new religion. You're not trying to get them to embrace a new philosophy, but you're trying to introduce them to their own Jewish Messiah. And that's what we're trying to do. Again, the atmosphere will often be charged because of the history of Jewish-Christian relations, as Bobby spelled out. You ever see that, Bobby, when you share the gospel with a Jewish person and they sort of undercut your moral authority by saying something like, yeah, but I don't know, man, what you're telling me doesn't seem to line up with the way Christians have behaved towards Jewish people. When you get that objection, what do you say?
Yeah. Well, again, I think that's where you just have to respond with humility and acknowledge it. I mean, it's part of the very real dark history that we have to deal with. It's not something to be downplayed or avoided. Acknowledge it with humility and grace, and even seek forgiveness. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, Solomon Grazel, who is a Jewish historian, said this: the history of Jewish Christian relations is written in blood and punctuated with violence. Terrible thing to say. Mm-hmm. I mean, the devil had a nefarious plot to keep the second coming from happening. If the Jewish people, as Paul argues in Romans 11, have such an important role in the second coming of Jesus, if Satan wanted to keep Jesus away, as he wanted to kill Jesus the first time around, I think that the idea of keeping the Jews from believing in Jesus is a brilliant strategy, and nefarious, but brilliant. And if you can actually get the very people who were supposed to make Jewish people jealous with the gospel to turn Jewish people away because of their mistreatment of Jewish people, wow, that's even better. And so we know about the Crusades in the Middle Ages. We know about the pogroms in the 19th century. Then we know about the Holocaust in the 20th century. And quite frankly, today, Bobby, the atmosphere after October 7, 2023 has been charged as well. The Jewish people experience Muslim or eccentric apocalyptic anti-Semitism on the part of violent Muslim folks. Yeah, that's true. And there is a lot of Muslim anti-Semitism online. It's in Arabic, so most people can't read it, but we get it translated. We know it's there. However, the way that Americans, British Christians, Irish Christians, Western European Christians, the way that many quote-unquote Christians have responded has been not very good. And there's been a rise in anti-Israel rhetoric and anti-Semitic, believing anti-Semitic tropes. The Jews have the money, they control the government, they have dual loyalties, they do all sorts of evil things, they conspire against the gospel. And these are very, very bad, and they break my heart to hear these things, sometimes from even real-life born-again Christians who just don't understand that they're parroting anti-Semitic views. And so we do see that the general attitude of Christians towards the Jewish people can create either a good or a bad atmosphere for the gospel and bringing the gospel to the Jewish people. So I urge you, brothers and sisters, to stand against anti-Semitism. I urge you to show love to individual Jewish people. Tell Jewish people that you're praying for them because you know about the rise of anti-Semitism and that you think it's terrible and that you think the way Israel's being treated as they try to defend themselves for their very life is what's really going on. And if you can encourage Jewish people, if you're a pastor, maybe you want to go to a local rabbi and say, hey, we're praying for you. My church supports you. We don't believe that Jewish people should be persecuted. We love the Jewish people. We believe God loves the Jewish people. We stand with Israel. If you can say that from an honest and sincere heart, not saying that Israel is perfect. Nobody would say that. Most Jewish people would never say that. But we believe that God gave the land to the Jewish people. We believe that Israel has a right to defend herself at the least. And if you can make that clear to your Jewish friend, then actually you're a bright burning candle in the middle of darkness. And, you know, one candle makes a huge difference in a dark room. And so you can be that candle. You can be that light. You can be the person that really changes a Jewish person's attitude and mentality about the role that Christianity has had towards Jewish people. And if you can do that, that would be wonderful for the gospel. May I encourage you from the bottom of my heart, and I hope Bobby joins me, please find a way to touch the life of a Jewish people with the love of God. Remind them that true Christians love the Jewish people, and that will create a much better climate, believe me, for the task of bringing the gospel to the Jewish people.
And right now, we're just going to pause and listen to some messianic music. So sit back, enjoy, and worship the Lord.
I have for you. the plans I have for you.
You're listening to The Chosen People, which is produced and sponsored by Chosen People Ministries. Thank you so much for joining us today. To stay connected with us throughout the week, be sure to check us out on your social media platforms. You'll find us on Instagram and Facebook. And while you're there, just click the like or follow button so that you can stay up to date on what's happening here at Chosen People Ministries. And then don't forget that this program can be heard every weekend right here on your local radio station or online when you visit us at chosenpeople.com/radio.
That's right, Bobby. And when listeners connect with us online, we'll send them my book, Isaiah 53 Explained, for free. That's just our way of saying thanks for listening. Our website has a wealth of resources available to you today that will help you take your evangelistic efforts further this summer. And if you'd like to purchase a t-shirt or a hoodie to accompany your free book, you can do that too. You'll find all of this and much more at chosenpeople.com/radio.
You can also ask for Mitch's book, Isaiah 53 Explained, by writing to us at Chosen People Ministries, 241 East 51st Street in New York, New York, 10022. That's 241 East 51st Street, New York, New York, 10022. And now let's wrap up today's program with the Aaronic Benediction.
Yivarechecha Adonai V'yishmarecha Ya'er panav elecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom v'yasem lecha shalom V'yasem lecha shalom. V'yasem lecha shalom.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and be gracious to you. May the face of the Lord shine upon you and give you peace. B'shem shel Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom, in the name of Jesus the Messiah, the Prince of Peace.